My name's Christian. I'm an alcoholic. So this was sprung upon me at the last minute, but winging things in life has always got me far, so here we go. 29 years old. I was born in a small town, Ocean City, Maryland. I had a great childhood. My parents provided. They did well for themselves. I was involved in sports. Everything was handed to me like at a nice restaurant, the plate, the silverware on the right and then on the left. And I just didn't really take opportunity of that. There was obviously something wrong with me as a child because I would steal, I would terrorize kids. Like, I went to a public school and there was a private school right up the street. We had dirt bikes, and when they were on recess, we'd chase them around, throw these things called works bombs at them. And cops would come. And I was in like fifth and sixth grade, the cops coming to my house, so like I already had a really bad reputation in the neighborhood. I had the isms at a young age. Anything to get me out of myself, I would do. I had mental health issues, like when I was in like sixth grade. And I would stay home from school because I thought my parents would die on the way to work. And I would just fuss about it. And my parents would let me stay home. They got me a psych, blah, blah, blah. Back then, they really didn't. Mental health really wasn't as like big as a topic as it is today. Nowadays, I do take medication for my mental health issues. But when I was younger, they didn't really try to push it on you, and it wasn't like as advertised as it is today. So I went to a psychiatrist. I don't remember how long, like a couple months, and like things got better. Like I said, I had a great childhood. I played sports. It was a small town, so I played lacrosse, and I was really good at it. And at one point growing up, I was like the star, and I was in the newspaper, and I did really well, and it was fun. I get to high school. Well, I think I was in eighth grade. I had like rum, like with Coca-Cola. I didn't like it. It burnt my throat, and I didn't like it. Drugs are part of my story, sorry. Like, 80% are drugs, 20% are alcohol. So if I say drugs, talk about getting high, my bad. So ninth grade, like everyone else, you drink Natural Light and you smoke pot. We would drink every weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Friday and Saturday, and sometimes Sunday, and watch football. We had a kid growing up whose parents really didn't give a shit what we did. He'd always have parties. I remember like the first time running from the cops was so fun. It was such an adrenaline rush, like jumping fences, running through fences, getting hurt, getting cut up. Like I remember showing up at my house. I was in 10th grade and my sister was at the party I was at, and she ratted me out to my mom. I try to come home and get in, my mom locks me out, and I'm with my buddy, we're covered in mud, we're all dirty and scratched up, and she's bitching. My mom, I put her through hell, bless her heart. I still played sports, I did well in school, I was always in advanced classes. I had a sister a year older than me, so competitively we played the same sports, and I was always in the same classes as her because I was above, like in advanced classes. I guess you could say I had pressure on me. I didn't really realize it then until I started getting older. And you experiment. Like I said, drugs are part of my story. I'd still drink, and I can't really say I ever blacked out unless I mixed it with a narcotic. It's like 11th grade comes around, and I think I'm doing something for my first time, and it turns out to be something else. And like everyone else says, like you get that warm blanket, go down your back. So I felt really good, but I got really sick. I was throwing up, but I still felt good, and I wanted more of it. I thought it was something else, and it wasn't that. So I started doing that. My parents, were suspicious, but they never said anything to me. Like, they were scared to call me out because I did well in sports. I did well in school. Like, what can they say? I did drugs in high school. I got kicked out. Like suspended. I used to love going to in-school suspension, by the way, because you didn't have to do shit. You could just sit there all day and make paper planes. So I was in there a lot, but I didn't get in trouble with the lacrosse coach. he had my back because my grades, and I did well in sports. And then, you know, college scouts come look at you. And like I said, I guess there was pressure on me, but I didn't realize it. I just, you know, went with the flow. I did what I did best, and that, you know, I played. I put all my, you know, heart into that. And while partying, getting high, and, you know, I still competed. And then, so college is pretty expensive. And I ended up going to a school 30 minutes away from where I grew up. It was called Salisbury. I played lacrosse there. You know, fall ball was really fun. And then, you know, I had this addiction as well. And, you know, I was hiding it. And I was still, like I said, I was still performing. And, you know, once you're in college, you're on a budget, you really don't got that much money, your habit gets worse and worse and worse. So, like I said, I was 30 minutes away from home, so all the knuckleheads I grew up with, we would, I'd go back there every weekend, and you know, we decided to rob a few houses. So I'm, first year of college, I was 17. I went to school when I was 17, because I guess in Maryland it's different than it is down here. It's different in every state, I think. So I was 17 when I did the charge. I was 17, but when I got caught, I was an adult. Me and my dad share the same name. I'm a junior, so when my name was in the newspaper, it didn't say senior or junior, so like that's like a really big embarrassment on my family. I never really had a conversation with my dad about how he felt about it, but he was hurt, and I'm a mama's boy, but when I get in trouble, she's always the one who tells me to sit and like sweat it out, because she grew up around addiction in Baltimore. So my dad would always come save me. He'd always bail me out no matter what. Like, I got, like, drinking citations. Should I go sit in the cell? My dad would come. He'd just be like, why do you do the things you do? I don't get it. My dad has no clue about addiction. He just thinks it's yes or no. My mom understands it because she grew up around it. So I talk to my mom more than my dad. I really haven't talked to my dad. He's like, old school Catholic, by the book, straight lace, black and white. There's no gray with him. And I guess you can say I struggled with that growing up, but he did, you know, he coached the sports I played and he was around. So, 18, I got caught. I had to go home. I got kicked out of school because I caught a felony. I couldn't live on campus. I lost my scholarship. School's expensive. Parents couldn't afford it, so I went back home with all the kids I grew up with. I didn't end up going to jail. It was my first offense. I did catch felonies. I took a plea deal to get it expunged. So I went to community college, and all the kids I grew up with went to community college, so, you know, we all did the same shit. Like, I was on probation. I'm really good at manipulating. Like, I can talk my way out of anything. I can sell water to a well. So I'd go to my probation officer and flirt with her, and I could get out of anything. And, you know, I never got drug tested. Everything was like, go Diddy. So I never failed a drug test, so I never violated because she didn't drug test me. So fast forward, my parents made me go to my first treatment center when I was 19. They didn't know what they were doing. I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, all right, I'll go. And, like, they thought it was 30 days, but it ended up being 7 days. It was a state-ran facility in Dover. And if you don't know, Dover's a shithole. It was a state-ran facility. It was partly a psych ward. And I was on the other side of the detox. Like, we would eat lunch with the kids in the psych ward. And I was like, where am I? Like, I didn't know what was going on. So the 7-8 days is up. My dad comes to get me. We're driving home. We stop and go shopping. He buys me all this shit. He's like, oh, you did so good. I'm proud of you. And I really didn't do AA. You know, I just thought you could stop and, you know, start smoking weed. You start doing pills. You go back to the shit you were doing. So 21, I could go to the bars and drink legally. And, like, I would go drink. You know, it's always nice to go out with friends and, you know, have a few drinks. But, like, I would drink alcoholically sometimes. But, like I said, I never really blacked out. So, like, I can't really relate to people who black out and do crazy things that they don't remember. But, I, you know, there's some things that I've done that I don't remember off other substances. So I went to rehab in Tennessee. It was an inpatient facility. I did, like, 25 days or 26 days there. And, you know, I had a friend that lived in Delray Beach, and he told me it was awesome down there. So I'm, like, in the therapist's office. He shows me this brochure. It was the fucking, if you guys know what the Breakers is in Palm Beach, there's a picture of the Breakers. I was like, I'm in. It's right on the beach. The water's clear. There's palm trees. So, you know, I get there. I do well. you know, I do IOP, all that. You know, I go to meetings. I get like 14 months, get into a relationship. We all know how that goes. Then, you know, I always held a job, though. That was something I was able to do, is held a job. I always had money in my pocket. I didn't commit any crimes in West Palm Beach because I did well for myself. West Palm was like 8 years of just chaos. It was like 9-10 months sober, get into a relationship, put that up here and put everything else down here. I'd always try to reinvent the wheel. You don't need to do that. So if you hear anything from me tonight, don't try to reinvent the wheel. It never works. The wheels are just fine. So, I started smoking again. Like, I'm 22 days back, by the way. Like, I just got out of treatment on Saturday, but I know this shit works. I've done it before. I can do it again. You know, anything's doable. So, my last year in Palm Beach, I was dating this girl. She was normal. She, like, fucking had no idea what was going on. She's, like, Palm Beach royalty. Like, her grandfather found Palm Beach with Henry Flagler. I'm in a halfway house. I meet this girl at the gym. We hit it off. And she has, like, no idea what to do with me. Like, she'd come to my halfway house, and, you know what happened. And, she loved me because, I'm a person. I'm still a human being. Like, just because I'm an addict or an alcoholic, I'm sorry. You know, it doesn't make me any different than anybody. I just have a disease, and it stinks. But I wouldn't trade it, because I've learned so many things in life. So, fast forward, she breaks up with me like they all do. I move out, get an apartment. I start getting high again. My friends call my sister. My sister's put up with my shit, bless her heart, too. She comes and gets me, puts me in detox. I come to Tampa, and like, when I used to think of Tampa, I was like, oh, it's ghetto. But I fell in love with Tampa. I love Tampa. Like, I never really felt like more homely than ever. I was welcomed when I first got here. I was welcomed when I came back. So, you know, the past, I did the deal. I had like 11 months. I did my steps. I had a sponsee. I had a sponsor that was a sponsor. And then I got into a relationship, and it happened again. And then I was out there for like 8 months. But people would still like call me and check on me. They know I didn't want to hear that preach at me. I also stopped praying. I believe in God. I'm not going to try to preach that to you, but that's my higher power. And when I stop doing all that shit, it goes downhill. I believe in him because I'd be dead if it wasn't for him. So my sister, she got some phone numbers, and she had some people come over to try to talk to me. I wasn't having it. And then one day I just had it. Like, I couldn't get out of bed. I finally felt my age. I'm 30. And, you know, it was rough. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't go to work. And I was just done. Usually when I go to detox, I get loaded. And this time, I just didn't have the energy to do it. I just, you know, wanted to be done. So this guy named Dick, I have a great relationship with him. He scholarshiped me to Riverside. I don't got insurance. I went to Riverside for 18 days. I got out on Saturday. I went back to work yesterday. You know, everything's going all right. I'm moved back in with my sister. I have follow-up therapy with a therapist for accountability because I have mental health issues. I have all the issues. And I'm looking forward to see what happens this time because I'm not going to try to reinvent the wheel this time. And, you know, I talk to people I know about it. And they're going to call me out on my bullshit. I'm good at getting away with bullshit. But once they stop seeing Christian and Christian loses weight, they know something's bad. If you got anything out of that, thank you. I could go on and on. There's a lot more to me that most of you really don't know. You know, everyone's got secrets. And I could air it out, but I only have like 2 minutes left. If you're new, you know, like it does work. Like I said, I just try to do the same shit over because I think I'm smarter than the person who's trying to teach me. My brain's still foggy. I'm sorry. I couldn't speak for 3 days. I was coming off benzos. I couldn't talk for 3 days. I was stuttering. That's the first time that's ever happened to me. I'm 22 days back. I got my old sponsor back. He is a sponsor. Him and I have a great rapport. You know, I'm happy to be back working with him. We started reading. I jumped right into it. And, you know, it does get better. You know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel because I've seen it. So, like I said, if you get anything out of my story, thank you for letting me share. Thanks for asking me to speak. Thanks.